Good morning, church, and welcome. It's so good to see you all. It's really good to have the big mass of this section back with us today. If you can't tell, there seems to be a theme with a lot of people wearing the same shirt. That is, we are wearing the camp shirt if we were there, and it was such a beautiful week to see what God was doing in the hearts of our young ones here at church. We had 3 baptisms, which is absolutely awesome. We had Ellis, Hawkins, and Sadie getting baptized, and we're so, so grateful that y'all made that decision to follow the Lord. And it was just a really wonderful time. So in solidarity with the youth group, I'm with you guys. Really quickly, I want to talk about the offering. If you have the funds and the ability to give to all the amazing things that we have going on here, thank you so much for your partnership in doing that. But you can give via putting stuff in the box, and we do have a text message service and a QR code somewhere. But we don't need it today. Y'all know the ways to give, but thank you so much for your continued partnership with that. And I want to shout out any guests that we have with us. Thank you, visitors, for being here today. So grateful that you chose to be here at 4th. You could have been a lot of different places, but you chose to be here. Thank you. And peeking up over those blue prayer cards, we have guest cards in the pew in front of you. And if you would be so kind to take that, scan the QR code on that, fill out as much information as you would like, we would love to follow back up with you and just say thank you for being here. We're so happy that you're here. We want you to feel welcome and that your family is totally loved here, because this church rocks. I love this church. I love these people. And one of the things I love about this church is they really care about like how you're really doing. You know, we oftentimes ask that question of each other, how are you? And our default answer is I'm doing fine or I'm doing good. And I think that really we as people need to get a little bit deeper. And I love that people follow up with the question like, no, how are you doing really? And what I've noticed in myself in this calendar year, the phrase that I keep saying is I feel tired. I feel tired, I feel busy, I feel like I'm spinning a lot of different plates at one time. And sometimes my soul feels like this. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that feels like there's a lot of stuff happening in life all at one time. And what I've noticed is many times whenever I ask that question of like, how are you really doing? How's your soul to people? One of the answers that I get the most frequently is I'm so busy, or life is so busy. And sometimes what I've seen, not necessarily here at 4th Avenue, but it can almost be like this status thing, something that we pride ourselves in, as if being busy means we're achieving more, and the most virtuous person in our culture is the one that wears themselves completely thin. However, from my observation, busyness does not make us more productive or happier. In fact, according to Pew Research, 60% of Americans say they are too busy to enjoy life. And being busy actually moves us further away from Jesus, oftentimes. Dallas Willard says, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. It's the great enemy of our day, and I think he's dead accurate. Being rushed and busy does not make us more productive. For instance, in 1793, the French government enacted a 10-day week as opposed to our normal 7-day week, only having a day of rest on the 10th day so that they could maximize their productivity. And this lasted for 13 years in their country. And what happened is there was actually less productivity, much more dissatisfaction in life, and a lot more depression. You don't say. Also, being busy is not helping us be more productive, because we as Christians, how we measure productivity is not in the ways that the rest of the world does. We measure productivity in whether we are becoming people of greater love of God and neighbor. And it is near impossible to be hurried and tired and adequately love people and God and hold space for them. Our busyness gets in the way of the most important pursuits of our lives. And the reality is, whenever we say that we are busy, we are actually confessing to one another. We are confessing our lack of prioritization, our lack of setting adequate boundaries for ourselves, and that we are guilty of misusing our time. One of Abby's mentors told her that you are only busy if you make yourself busy. I know that's true for me. I understand that working multiple jobs or things like parenting can eat up a lot of our time, and some of that may be totally out of our control, but even in that, I would encourage everybody to prioritize the most important things in life and cut out the unnecessary things that are eating up our time and eating away at our rest. Because I don't think deep down in our souls, we want to be busy all the time. I know that's not where I want to be. I don't want to be yet another minister that sacrifices his family on the altar of ministry. I don't want, if we have kids, Lord willing, I don't want our kids or Abby to feel like I love my job more than I care about them. I don't even want them to entertain that thought. Even within my role here, I don't want to get so caught up in the busyness of ministry that I don't have the capacity or the space to love the people that are right in front of me in a given moment. But whenever busyness and hurry triumphs over my abiding with God and also accepting my limitations as a human, I am forfeiting the experience of living the abundant life with God, even though I may be doing a lot for God. Or to use emotionally healthy spirituality's language, my being with God needs to sustain my doing for God. And that often hasn't been the case. And I know I'm not alone in letting busyness take precedence over key parts of my life. And I also know I'm not alone in hating that that happens. I think we allow for busyness to rule in our lives so often because our culture ingrains into our very beings from a young age. Maybe that's coming from our parents or sports placements and competitions or grades in school, that you are valuable only if you do good work, only if you make a ton of money, only if you achieve great things or you have letters next to your name. And all of us want to feel valuable. We want to feel worthwhile. We want to feel like we are able to provide for our families. I get all that. But often the aspirations behind the busyness we find ourselves in are so counter to the kingdom of God and what God's version of the flourishing life looks like. So how do we reject the God of busyness in our culture and hurry in our lives? We are going through a series called Rule of Life that's focusing on reprioritizing our lives to practice the ways that Jesus lived, to look at how Jesus lived his life and seek to imitate it. And thus far, we've talked a lot about churchy, typical things like prayer and scripture. We did talk about fasting. That one is not normally talked about, and I have big problems with that one, but it's super important to practice. But today, we're talking again about a discipline that we don't talk about a ton. One of the key practices from the life of Jesus was Sabbath. Jesus participated in the weekly rhythm of exercising a Sabbath. From the feast, to resting from work, to going to synagogue, Luke 4 says that was his custom. That's what he did regularly. It was a regular part of his life. So what is the Sabbath? The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease or to stop. The first placement of this word is in Exodus 16, before we even get to the Ten Commandments in Exodus. And Moses here is instructing his people to go and gather enough food for 2 days so that they could dedicate the seventh day to the Lord. However, the habit of people could not be stopped. We read in verse 27, "Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none." They went out to work anyway, even though they were told not to. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out, so the people rested on the seventh day." So even though the Israelites had clear instruction not to work, God's people, out of habit, perhaps because of the slaving they did in Egypt, where they worked constantly without rest, decided they would rather stay busy, but their effort was not productive. Ironically, something like this sort of happened to me recently because I felt like I was spinning so many plates at one point, I felt like I needed to work on my whole Sabbath day. And so I made that dedicated commitment. And as I start doing that, I get hit with this like massive migraine for the first time in my life. And I take that as a parable from God saying, hey buddy, you need to listen to your body, need to listen to your soul and what you actually need. So I stayed in bed the whole day instead. That was much more productive than whatever I was gonna do. God has given, I love what Caleb and Carly were saying. God has given or gifted us the Sabbath, a day to cease from our work and devote it to the Lord. The Lord provides enough for us during the 6 days of the week that we can afford to rest for one of them. This is a hard practice for Israel to start up because they were so used to a culture of their worth being and how productive they were. We know how ruthless Pharaoh was and the demands that he made over Israel in Exodus 5. You kind of see that heart. You see Pharaoh getting angry at Moses for asking to take people away for a few days to make sacrifices to God because it would hurt his productivity. So therefore, he made work conditions harder. And he made it to where if they didn't meet their quota, they would get beaten or worse. He called them lazy for even desiring to do something like this. Imagine what centuries of being in a culture like this, hearing a narrative that you're lazy, you're only worthwhile if you meet your quota. Imagine what that might do to a culture or the psyche of an entire people group. Actually, I think we kind of can imagine that, right? We live in a culture much like Egypt. We have the voice of Pharaoh in our head. However, this idea, this way of life of working without rest is exactly the rationale behind the commandment of the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments, at least according to Deuteronomy's account. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do." I think it's interesting, even the animals are resting, and they're saying visitors who are living among them need to rest as well because everybody else in Israel is supposed to be resting. That's how important this is for God. And then here's the rationale in verse 15. Remember you that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In order to get the Egypt out of his people, God knew that a day of rest for a restless people was necessary. Sabbath is really a protest against the expectation of the kingdoms of the world on us, really the kingdom of darkness. It's a line in the sand. It's like a pledge of rededication to God over everything else in our lives. And God is the rationale for the Sabbath commandment in the Exodus account of the Ten Commandments. In verse 11 of Exodus 20, it says, "For in 6 days," so why they should do the Sabbath is this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The creator of the universe, God himself, rested on the seventh day and set it apart for us to follow in his example. It's not that God is one that needs rest, but God knew when his work was completed. It is as if God has baked in a day of rest into the fabric of creation because cultures have tried to have longer days of the week to maximize productivity and it hasn't worked. As humans, we need to realize the limits that we have and that we need rest. Now, there is a question among Christians today about whether this is a command that we actually need to follow. Ironically, this is the only commandment that tells us to remember it, as if God knows we're going to forget it. It's also the longest commandment out of any of the Ten Commandments. And it's also the only commandment that I hear Christians brag about breaking. I don't hear a ton of people bragging about, man, I coveted this person's thing so bad. But I do hear a decent amount, yeah, I skipped my day off this week because I had to work overtime and blah, 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 blah. Pretty common. We don't really mind breaking this command. And we often use Jesus to justify it. In Mark chapter 2, We see this account with Jesus. In verse 23, it says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions.' Then he said this to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, the authority even of the Sabbath.'" So since it appears that Jesus allowed for his disciples to quote unquote work on the Sabbath day to take care of a practical need, or we see other places where Jesus does healings or good things for other people on the Sabbath, some have treated this as a license to totally disregard observing any level of Sabbath. Jesus here is not saying, ignore the Sabbath and do what you want to do. He is tearing down some of the ultra-legalism that existed within the Pharisees and how they treat the Sabbath. And interestingly, even to this day, many Orthodox Jews have a very strict observance of the Sabbath. In 2017, whenever I was in Jerusalem, I was there on a Sabbath day. And there was an Orthodox Jew that came into the elevator. We were staying in the same hotel. And he asked me if I could push the elevator button for him because that was considered work on the Sabbath. I'm like, what? Who do you think God is? And so even to this day, there is that sort of law around the law that's happening. And I think during Jesus' day, the people needed to hear the second part of that statement in verse 27. So where Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, they needed to hear that we were not made for the Sabbath. We were not made for strict Sabbath observance. And I think in today's culture, for us in Western culture, we need to hear the first part of that phrase. The Sabbath was made for man. It is a gift from God. It is for our good. I really could not care less about the discussion of whether it is necessary for a Christian to follow a Sabbath day. Whether it's necessary or not is not worth having. The better question is it good? Or is there wisdom in observing the Sabbath? And the answer is unequivocally yes. Having to argue for the importance of a Sabbath day for the life of a believer for me is like arguing for puppies or Kansas City barbecue. Like, it's one of the easiest things to do, and it's so good, like, why wouldn't we want to do that? Observing the Sabbath is such a good thing. Sabbath is a reminder that you are not a slave to your work or what you do anymore. We stand defiant against the culture of Egypt and honor our allegiance to God. Observing the Sabbath is spiritual warfare. It's extremely hard to wreck a person's life that is well-rested and emotionally and spiritually healthy and attuned to how they're really doing. But without having a Sabbath day, we experience greater burnout, stress, a weaker immune system, brain fog, frayed relationships, and experience greater distance from God. It's also a reminder whenever we observe the Sabbath that you don't have to purchase your way to love. God loves you for who you are, not what you accomplish. In Jesus, you are enough. Think about this. If you think about the creation of the world, day six, mankind was made. What's their first day as a living, breathing human? Rest. They don't have tons of work to do. They start with rest, almost as this idea that they are coming from the overflow of their identity of who they are in God, that they are worthwhile because of who they are, not what they do. What we do comes from the overflow of our rest in God. In fact, the Jewish day begins at night. That's why in the first chapter of Genesis, it says there was evening and then there was morning. We don't need to think of rest as something we do after a long day of work and we just go home and crash. Rest is like the beginning of the day. Rest is the first thing we do. We rest well so that we can work even better, so that we can have more intentionality in the things that we do. I heard somebody say the difference between an Olympian and just a good athlete is how seriously they take their rest. And it makes sense. So we as Christians need to be very intentional about how we rest. I love what Walter Brueggemann says in his book, Sabbath as Resistance. People who Sabbath live all 7 days differently. I think that's so true. If we want to be the most effective disciples that we can be for Jesus, it begins by resting in God every single week, recentering our lives around him, and allowing him to recharge us for the week that we face ahead. So let's become more by striving less and observe the Sabbath together as a church. Now, I want to say I understand a lot of the hesitations that people might have in doing something like this. Maybe some of you are skeptical about how helpful it is or how important it really is, and I get it. I care so deeply about productivity and thought something like this would make my life harder because I'm losing one of the days of the week to not work. I couldn't have been more wrong. It has actually helped my productivity, and it's actually the highlight of my week every single week. And if you care about productivity, there was actually a study done on Seventh-day Adventists because they tend to live 10 to 12 years longer than the average American. And people are confused about why that is. But a big part of that is they have a dedicated observance to the Sabbath. They also have other healthy lifestyle choices that help that. But if you did the math of observing the Sabbath day every day for the average lifespan, it's a little over 4,000 total days that would be dedicated to Sabbath, okay? And if you add up the 11 extra years that you would get, assuming this is how this all works, if you convert those 11 years to days, you would actually get more days to work in your life if you took a Sabbath every day than if you didn't. It's almost as if observing a weekly Sabbath gives you more time. And it certainly makes life a lot more enjoyable, I will say that. Some of you may think you're too busy to block off an entire day for something like this. And certainly there are some life circumstances that make it challenging to observe a Sabbath. Like, for example, this week I'm gonna be in Minnesota with my family, and I'm not gonna have the normal rhythm of a Sabbath, but I can at least bring a spirit of rest to that trip. And though we may think we are too busy, I would guess that almost every single person isn't. We let a lot of unnecessary things eat up our time, and we aren't prioritizing the rest in the ways that we should be. If your job is prohibiting you from actually taking a Sabbath, I think at least it is worth considering getting a different job that allows you to have better boundaries for yourself and for the sake of your family. And some of you may think it's impossible because you have a family, you have kiddos that you have to look after, and every single day feels like work, so how am I gonna take a day of rest? But I can't tell you how many mentors of mine that have been exercising a Sabbath for years and years and years, and their family says it is the highlight of their week. It's one of the most enjoyable times. They make really fun family traditions out of it, and it draws them all closer together. And some of you may not wanna take a Sabbath because it feels selfish to you. It feels selfish to take a day to cease from working and taking care of other people to take care of yourself. But it's such a good thing to take care of yourself. If you are not well taken care of first, you can't take care of other people very well. It's actually selfish to not take care of yourself because the version of yourself that others get is a worse version. I cannot stress this enough. If you can't tell, I care about this subject. I'm passionate about it. I can't stress enough how much exercising a Sabbath for me and Abby has strengthened my relationship with God. It's strengthened our marriage, and it's made me more emotionally and spiritually attuned to how I am really doing. I was super skeptical about it. I didn't see the need for it and thought it would be really hard to practice because a lot of other spiritual disciplines are hard to practice, like fasting. But this one instantly clicked and almost instantly was transformative. If I did not have a Sabbath day, I am certain I would be a workaholic because I still feel those temptations today. I'd probably be burnt out with ministry. I'd have a worse relationship with God, probably a worse marriage with Abby. But praise God that none of those things are true. Sabbath is a means for my endurance in ministry and my faith. It is a lifeline in weeks that are so hard. It reminds me always that God is good and he is working all things out for our good. So I praise God for gifting us the Sabbath because it has forever changed and enhanced my life. And I know it will do the same with you if you stick with it. Now, some of you may have no idea where to actually start with a practice like this. And to be clear, this is not just a normal day off. Our normal days off are normally filled with all the other work that we have to do that we haven't gotten to during the week. So all the chores, all the bill paying, the lawn care, all the stuff that we have to do. We also take days off to think about the work that we have to do in the coming week, which I read a study that showed that thinking about work secretes the same stress hormones in your brain as real work does. So how much rest are you really getting? And our day off can be a day where we totally numb out on mindless activities to avoid how we are really doing. Sabbath is so much more intentional than that. Originally, the normal time for Sabbath was Friday night to the following Saturday night. It began with a communal meal, and oftentimes there was different activities going on Saturday for the rest of the day. And Saturday was their day of worship, so they would gather in synagogues during Sabbath. And because of that, and since Christians meet on Sundays, a lot of Christians argue that the best time for a Christian to observe Sabbath is on a Sunday. I think both of those are great options. However, this is not a legalistic practice. It's something that is a gift. It is for our benefit. So if those times don't work for you and your family, I recommend picking a different day. For instance, because Saturday and Sundays are both work days for me, Thursday night into Friday is me and Abby's Sabbath. And maybe if a full day feels like it's too much to block off, maybe do a half day or just do an evening. You gotta start with where you are. I don't recommend doing the shortened versions of them. I think a full day is good and what we should shoot for. But if you gotta start with just that little bit, start with that. And in terms of how you spend your time, practicing the way gives four kinds of things to include in your Sabbath: stopping, resting, delighting, and worship. It begins with stopping, ceasing. So this means any work from your job or anything else that feels like work has no place during this day. So this means getting all your chores and your tasks done, sending all the emails and the texts that you need to before the Sabbath actually comes, so you don't have to think about it, so you don't have to deal with it. Maybe that also means making Sabbath plans the night before so you don't have to make those plans during the day, or whatever food preparations you need to make, whatever it is that feels like work, getting that done before the Sabbath so you can have a time of true, like, stopping or ceasing. You may want to consider other things to stop from as well, like some treat it as a day to totally do away with phones. I have some mentors that have lock boxes where they put all their phones in it, and it's just a time for intentional connection. One of my mentors actually has his kids hide his phone, which is a dangerous game to play, but they love it every single week because they know they're getting undistracted time with their dad. So stopping from work is really important for Sabbath. And I also want to give a quick shout out to our shepherds, because before I even came here, they had a monthly meeting going on called Shabbat, which is Sabbath, where they move aside the business of church, which so often gets piled on and all the plate spinning and that sort of thing. They have a time where they're like, we're not going to deal with this stuff. We're going to be together. We're going to pray with one another, read scripture together, and check in on one another's lives. I think that's such a healthy practice for leaderships to do, and I'm thankful that that culture is already in existence. And so stopping is an important part of Sabbath, saying this far you may come and no further. And after stopping needs to be resting. Sleep in as much as you possibly can. Maybe you can help train your kiddos to stay in their rooms until a certain time in the morning. I know that's not really possible for like the younger ones, but take naps whenever you can. Move slower through the day. Have a time where you just be. And in that slower, quieter time, God often meets us there. So rest during this day. Another big one is delight. This is one that we don't really think about or talk about much. But whenever God created the world on the seventh day, he looked back on all that he had made and said it was very good. He delighted in what he had made. Sabbath is a happy day. It's a day for refreshing our minds, our bodies, our souls. Christians ought to be the most joyful people on the planet. Amen? Because we have the greatest gift in God. And people don't want to follow people who seem miserable, right? Misery and sorrow, they are inevitable truths of life. So they're not looking for someone else who's miserable to lead them. They're looking for someone who's living the good life, that's flourishing, that's experiencing joy. John Mark Comer calls joy a feeling, a condition, and a discipline. I think all of those are true. Joy and happiness in scripture are oftentimes used interchangeably So there is a sense in which joy is that really good, happy feeling. But it's also a constant condition that we are in, and we have because of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. It's something that naturally overflows whenever we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's also a discipline. It's something that we deliberately choose. And sometimes that's easy. Whenever life is good, it's easy to be joyful. But sometimes life is really hard. And only out of obedience to God are you choosing to be joyful. But it is a discipline that we can grow in. And Sabbath is one of those ways that we experience joy. I love what Tim Keller says. Tim Keller says, because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our soul with beauty. I think that is so important, and I couldn't agree more. However, whenever we slow down in life and we live undistracted, we will likely experience some sadness. Because whenever you slow down and you become attuned to how you're really doing, a lot of those feelings that you have stuffed in your soul and haven't dealt with start coming out. And that is okay. It is okay to experience sadness. It's okay to experience sadness on the Sabbath day. There's no better time to do that. So then you can take that sadness, or whatever you're feeling, to the Lord. And you can be with people who love you, and you can trust to walk with you through whatever you're feeling. And you're not gonna be able to get back into joy until you deal with the sadness anyway. So bring it before the Lord. And the lastly is worship. First of all, stopping, resting, and delighting is all worship. That is all a form of worship, so don't think of this as something separate. But again, this is not a normal day off. This is not just a day for you to do whatever you want. This is a day that's also a day to dedicate to the Lord. So how might worship be a practice of your Sabbath? Maybe that means around a table for that you have a first meal and you all reflect on the week of how you saw God working in your life. Or maybe in the mornings you have quiet time with God, a dedicated time for everyone just to sit and be with the Lord. Or maybe you sing together as a family, you worship together, whatever it is. Maybe it's a devotional time. Whatever ways that God connects with you personally, this is a time to be recharged by God. It's so important. There is so much potential with the Sabbath day. And if you're doing it right, it can feel better than any vacation that you could possibly take. It can become the highlight of your week. But we have to stick with it, because there's gonna be resistance that we feel personally. There might be resistance in our family for wanting to do it. And it's really easy to start drifting back into work. It's something that we have to guard and protect. Sabbath is an intentional decision. And so once we start letting work drift back into it, our Sabbath starts to erode and it's easy for it to go away. And I know that's true for me and Abby. We have had seasons in our marriage where we've sort of drifted with Sabbath practice, and we felt it. It made a difference in our relationship, my relationship with God, all of it. So we felt this deep soul desire that I need to go back to this. And guys, I can't stress this enough. It is so good. It is so good. And doing this, though, is a boundary. And so whenever you put a boundary down, that means you're going to have to say no to a lot of really good things. But saying no to really good things is worth it for this. I promise you, it is so good. So I want to challenge all of you to start or continue observing a Sabbath day. Because a church that observes a day that is dedicated to the Lord in rest, delight, and worship is one that is more present and more attuned to how other people are doing and how they are doing, more slowed down to see and love the people around them. They are also greater workers because they are coming from a place of rest. And most importantly, they become more aware of God. They know him more fully. And once we as people know God deeper, we become more attuned to our genuine identity in Jesus. So for this week, I am issuing a church-wide challenge for everybody in our church to take a 24-hour Sabbath day, either this week or next week. You can pick the day, you can tailor it to you and your family's needs, but try really hard to make time for a full 24-hour Sabbath day. I invite you to begin with prayer and use this little tool that I think might help you decide what that day might look like. Make an I will not, I will list. Do we have that slide up? What sorts of things might you cease from? What will you not do on a Sabbath? The main things for me are work-related things and tons of smartphone usage, but it could be a lot of different things. Sit with the Lord about how you can set up boundaries and prevent distracting, joy-killing things from having a place in your Sabbath. And then create an I will list. I will get rest. I will sleep as long as I can. I will take naps. I will do things that refresh my spirit. I'll make crafts. I'll play music. I'll go golfing. I'll go eat at a good restaurant. I'll take time with God in the mornings. Whatever the things that you want to include on that day, think about it. Sit with the Lord. There are so many different possibilities for this. This is a great time to create lasting rituals with your family, to get them excited for what's to come every single week. And really, it's a great time to create rhythms for you and your family to grow closer to God and one another. So that's the challenge. And after you observe the Sabbath with your family, I would love it. I want to invite you guys. Send me an email. Shoot me an email about what your experience with it was like. You can say, I hated it. That was the dumbest thing ever. This preacher's terrible. Whatever you want to say, you can send it to me. If it's your first time observing the Sabbath or your 500th time, whatever it is, I would love to hear feedback on what this is like for you, because I really do believe that this is such a transformative practice. And this morning, as we transition into our prayer and response time, this is a great opportunity to sit with the Lord, maybe start your I will not, I will list, and a great time to ask God how you might implement Sabbath as a regular rhythm of your life. And if you have anything this morning that you would like prayers for, we're going to have our prayer team go ahead and go around the room, but we have a group of people that would love to pray with you and walk through whatever's going on. If you need prayers for healing, if you need prayers, you want to celebrate, you want to share the joy that you have in Jesus, whatever it is, please talk to these people, and we'd love to pray with you. But let's be a church that takes rest as a priority and not forsake the Sabbath. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, for the gift of the Sabbath. It is a gift. When the rest of the world is hurrying and rushing along, feeling this constant need to be productive, to do. Children of God, because of who we are in you, not because of earning or striving or achieving. Lord, I pray this morning that you release the yoke of slavery of busyness in this church. It's so easy to get distracted and want to be distracted by all the different things that are going on in our lives. And I know some of it is out of our control, but Lord, even in the times that feel like it's out of our control, help us to find you in it. Help us to rest in you during those times. And Lord, you know, I am certain that there is resistance in this church about wanting to observe this or seeing the need or the importance of it. And Lord, you know I was there. I pray that you challenge people, stir up something in their spirit to at least give it a try and see what fruit may come from it. We thank you, Jesus, for the greatest gift of all time in your sacrifice and your resurrection and the grace that you pour out for all of us to walk into freedom. And I pray that you help us to walk into freedom through observing the Sabbath. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.